This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. Barry's just got back from the Tauranga Congress, and we've got some results.
The pairs was won by Ian Barrington and Tisha Wynn. Just narrowly got home by just over 1% from Blair and Liz Fisher.
Okay. Restricted Open pairs, that was won by Joy Bates and Francie Ball. Runner-up, Roger Wilkinson and Derek Bartosz.
So the results were, for the Open teams, it was Jack James and Zachary Yarn, Kevin Hu and Jeremy Fraser-Hoskin. They won reasonably comfortably by about 17 VPs over Wayne Burrows and Claire Maher and Ken and Kathy Yule, who you always pick. So you might have got the Quinella there if you were trying to pick it. Plate was won by Blair and Liz Fisher and Sam and Joe Simpson, their last event before they move out of Tauranga to Dunedin. Good luck to them. Yep. And second were Steve Barron and Herman Wan, playing with Ella Gray and Michael Niels.
The Tauranga Congress Constellation Swiss pairs was won by William Liu and George Sun. And second were John Buckleton and Hamish Brown.
George Sun having a good run, winning last week at Waitemata as well.
Good on you, George.
There was a 5A Festival pairs at Otago too. That was won by Peter McCaskill and Jeff Thompson from Ramon Quinnell and Daniel Blakely.
Was that face-to-face or online?
That was face-to-face.
I did see some pictures that Nan Wehi Paihana uploaded. They were playing at the Whanganui Picnic Tournament. That was won by Rob Williams and Robbie Green. Second, Anya Hodges and Linda Rowland.
They had a big turnout there. It looks like about 22 tables.
It's a popular event. Their club rooms are just amazing.
So what have you been doing all weekend? I never saw you playing bridge anywhere. Have you gone into hibernation?
Well, we're sort of preparing to go down to Mochaweka this weekend with the drag. Because it was raining everywhere, couldn't do anything with the vehicles. Looking forward to going down to Mochaweka or Nelson on my first trip across on the ferry. There you go.
Okay.
Been on the ferry?
Not for a long, long time. So I'll be going down there on the 8th of February, not too far away.
That's right.
So you'll be back and we'll be off.
That's right.
I'm not quite sure how we're going to record the Bridge Zone while I'm going down the West Coast and back up the East Coast, but I'm sure we'll find a way. Mariana tells me you can get free Wi-Fi at Macca's.
So yep.
Maybe we need to go and park in the car park so we can do the Bridge Zone.
Funny thing is that normally Jenny can go somewhere else, but this time, no.
It's going to be difficult.
Rosa will be barking.
Okay.
At least if you've got one that's a 24-hour wherever you are, that would be great.
If anybody on the West Coast is listening, I'm quite keen to call in at some of those clubs going down the West Coast and have a game during the week if we can fit it in. There's the likes of Westport and Greymouth and Hokitika and quite
a few. I'm sure they'll be able to find some place. You need to, actually, that's one thing that we can do. Westport people, I know you're there, Ray and Phil. Send us what sessions in the evening, or maybe even during the day, Barry, that you might be able to call in and have a game.
We might bring a whole table with us because Jenny's sister and a partner play as well, so you'll have an extra table at the club if we come. We're going all the way down to Dunedin and then back up the east coast through, what do we got there? Oamaru, Timaru, and there's a few others.
There's Alexandra. Oamaru have one. I've played in Cromwell. They use the parish hall of the local Catholic church. It's a pack up and pack down situation.
Anyway, should be fun. I'd like to have a game in Dunedin while I'm there too. I've heard good things about the Dunedin club, which you have obviously played.
Yeah,
and of course
it
was the home of the famous Baden Wilson that the A-Point Trophy is named after.
Yeah.
Maybe if I travel down there and all around, maybe I'll stumble across that Baden Wilson trophy that went missing all those years ago. Maybe we can solve the mystery of the missing Baden Wilson trophy.
Sure, sure.
You don't fancy my chances? You know, I might find it at the bottom of a drain somewhere.
Maybe you think it's because there might be a reward for it. What do you think about that?
I don't think so.
Are you out?
I don't think anybody has cited the Baden-Wulsen Trophy for many a year.
Well, maybe if you're heading down that way, you should go, oh, look, do you mind if I just have a look through your trophy cabinet? You can look for it.
Well, the rumor I heard was that Ashley Barke had something to do with it.
Yeah,
He won it
I've
one
heard
year and
that.
nobody's ever seen it since. He's probably not listening to the Bridge Zone, so I can slander him all I like. I don't know whether that's a true story or not.
So, bridge clubs, if you want to send us an email to let Barry know what sessions are currently going at your club, of course, he could look on the website. That would be what any normal bridge player would do. Let us know, bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com. F. Iakine. Coming up next, we visit the courthouse.
Court's in session. The court's in session now. Here come the judge. Here come the
Good
judge.
morning. This week we have Judge Julie. Welcome back.
Hi.
Hi.
I think we've three questions, haven't we?
Yeah.
First one's a quickie. Well, actually, the second one's a quickie as well, but for a different reason. First one is a quick one is if you're a dummy, we don't have much to do when we're dummy. If partner looks like they're about to play from the wrong hand, are you allowed to try and stop them?
Yes, you are. Really simple.
Okay.
The answer is yes, you are. In New Zealand, if the pairer doesn't follow suit, dummy can say having none to try and prevent the revoke being established.
So not
Okay.
much you can do as dummy, but that's one of them.
Okay. The other one
Okay.
that comes up in there is a partner turns the card the wrong way. If the clearer turns the card the wrong way and you're dummy, you can say that it's turned the wrong way before they play to the next trick. So basically, before the next trick is played to, you can point out that the clearer has got their card turned the wrong way.
So
Well,
dummy
one
can
thing.
do three things then.
You can try and prevent an infraction by your partner, is what you're allowed to do, basically.
Well, speaking of quickies, you know that when I'm declarer that I'm a bit fast and loose. Well, fast anyway. Is there any problem with playing fast? I mean, some people are uncomfortable with declarers playing at a fast tempo. What's the go there?
Some people play fast. Some people play slow, some people play very slowly, some play very fast. People play at different speeds. So there are a few things around the speed of play. One is that if someone is playing too fast for you, then it doesn't mean you have to play as fast as them. And I know, because I've done this myself, you get into a rhythm and you make a mistake. Entirely up to you about how fast you are playing to a trick. The other one is about slow play. At a certain point of time, things get very slow. Now, you are entitled to think and you are entitled to take time. And there are a lot of issues that come up around that. You're not allowed to take forever and slow things down. If someone's taking a very long time, you are entitled to call the director and point out they are taking a long time.
Okay,
When
yeah.
people are thinking, they don't realise how long they take. So some of the time, if the clearer is sitting there thinking about what to do in the play of the hand, which they might do at trick one, or when something unexpected happens, they may take quite a long time. And one of the things that's really clear if you play chess or Scrabble where you use a clock, when you take time, it goes fast, and when they take time, it takes forever. And if you interrupt someone when they're thinking, they're going to take longer. So absolutely, there are times when you need to call the director because it's too slow, but at other times, for example, if there's plenty of time on the clock for the round and the clearer is taking some time, it doesn't feel appropriate necessarily to interrupt their thought process and try to get them to hurry up when there is no issue around the time of the round. If someone's playing fast, you can still play to your own speed, presuming it's not too slow. So don't get caught in a bad rhythm, is basically what I'm trying to say there.
I think it's a hard
Okay.
thing to do, though, don't you think? When
Oh.
somebody's playing quickly, like you say, it's hard to just.
Absolutely, but it's the same thing as playing slowly. The person who's playing is not trying to catch you out. I play fast. And particularly when I know I'm just waiting for it to find out one thing before I claim, I probably play quite fast. And I do it without thinking. It's not because I'm consciously thinking I want someone to revoke or do something stupid. It's because I just play fast normally. And the same happens on the other side of the coin with slow. You shouldn't be dragging out play unnecessarily. It's actually in the etiquette of the game. But you are allowed to think. So there's a bit of give and take somewhere in there.
Let's just say that someone is playing fast. Can you say, hang on here, help slow down a little bit?
Just play slower. They can only play fast if you keep playing fast with them.
Yeah.
Right?
Agree.
So if you have a problem or if you need to think, then slow down the speed you are playing at. I mean, this is not suggesting people go from fast to excruciatingly slow, right? We don't want to go from 200k to 5, right? We want to be the happy median in the middle.
You basically, you can't dictate to somebody that you've got to slow down. You just slow down yourself. I hadn't actually thought about the slow play thing, but that actually can be, you know, that's the famous sleep coup, isn't it? Where they take so long that when you finally get around to playing a card, you do something wrong.
Yeah, there's a thing in the laws about that you're not allowed to do things to disrupt the opponents or to prolong play unnecessarily. And in all fairness, if people are playing fast deliberately, then that's not right either. Very clearly in the etiquette of the game. But
really?
Most people play to a speed they are comfortable with. And if you're not comfortable, then perhaps you need to take some time to think.
Okay, so this one is where if you're a director and you get called to the table, somebody's hesitated and then passed and their partner's taken a bid, always the most difficult hesitation thing. If you get called and then you say, you decide to let them play in the contract that they've got to, obviously you're going to consider something, an adjustment or something if it's disadvantage. Should you put the onus on them to call you back again, or should you hang around? And
interestingly, is some of your phrasing there. So if someone calls you about a hesitation at the table, and it's not a case, there's not like a misbid or something like that, there's unauthorised information, it's not a case of letting them continue. You don't get the choice. Nearly always the option has to continue. The director cannot stop someone from bidding or doing what they do. That is really, really important because we have a whole raft of players every now and then that decide to tell people because their partners hesitated they are not allowed to bid. And that is absolutely not true. So to be really clear, there's a hesitation in the option, right? What you want to do is you want to agree that there was a break in tempo in the option. All right. And if that's agreed at the table, you don't even need to call the director. If you do call the director because there's a dispute about there being a break in tempo, all you do is you call the director and say, I thought that this person took some time, and they will either agree or not agree, and the director will say fine. And in all cases, the auction will continue. Before you go away, you'll say, can you call me back at the end of the hand if there is a problem? All right.
Right. Yeah.
Now, at this point, at the end of the hand, it may be that people are behind because you've been called to the table and you've called them over. Now everyone's racing to get away from the table. It may be for a variety of reasons that you don't get called back, but that doesn't mean that there hasn't been damage. So the people can call you back at the end of the hand, but equally, and you can get busy, so it might not happen immediately. Equally, you can go and just check with the people that called about the hesitation in the first place, whether they consider there was damage or not, or that you can look at it. Now, up until the period for the scoring correction, right, which is at a time about half an hour or whatever, up to when the scores are final for a session, things can be addressed. And sometimes people don't know if there's any damage until they look at the hand in full, which they might not have had time to do. Not everyone is quick enough or comfortable enough to make a decision at the table. And sometimes if you're weaker playing stronger, you're feeling like they know better and you don't anyway. So director, always go back and check that everyone is comfortable with what the result was at the table, because you can always look at it and make a decision through the session. It's not something that you have to do straight away to decide, but you do need to before everyone goes home.
Okay. Well, that was useful.
I mean, I do feeling too, sometimes they've already called the director, and it's, sometimes it's not all that pleasant when you're sort of suggesting somebody's acted that way. The last thing you feel like doing is calling them back again
afterwards.
That's
right. Absolutely. It may not be a case of being called back immediately at the end of the hand. If you've got time, then you go. You would expect them to call you at some point, but it doesn't hurt for you to go and check with, particularly when you've got a pair that's weaker than the other pair, where they may have been called on it. It allows you to explain the situation later on. So you can say to them, look, I'll talk to you later about it, because it's always difficult.
Yeah.
One of the things when you get called about a hesitation is very often you'll get two things said by the person who's hesitated. One is they didn't hesitate, but they did have to think. And if they have to think, they've hesitated. The other one is that they'll try and show you their hand. It's not relevant, okay? In the middle of an auction where someone's pointed it out and the auction is continuing, you don't need to see their hand. It's not up to whether you approve of their bidding or you don't approve of their bidding. It's not up to what they would always do. Really importantly is the director is there to assess whether a very large proportion of people would have seriously considered making the bid that they did in the context of the auction, and then you will decide about the relevance of the hesitation. It's not right. What you think they would or would not do or what they should or should not do. It's really important that you don't even look at the hand at that point.
I don't know about you, Mariana, but I'm enlightened. I mean, I've played in a team with Julie for years, decades, in fact, and I never knew she could be that diplomatic.
Well, there you go.
You have no idea how diplomatic I'm being at the moment, Barry.
Okay.
I think there should be a fine on that, Judge Julie. Well, I think the fine should be you now pay that entry fee that you've just loaded the team for.
Thank you very much for the threesome thing. Not threesome, the trifecta. No, whatever. The treble of questions today.
Such a better word, trifecta.
One that Barry should know, actually, you think?
Yeah, absolutely. All righty. Well, thank you, Judgy. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Okay, thank you very much.
E hare ake nei. Coming up next, we have the Gin Club. That's junior, intermediate, and novice, with our very own gin man, Ross Longley. Jack Diamond, he told the Queen of Spades. We're back with our man from East Coast Bays. Now, is East Coast Bays Warkworth? Two different things.
Yeah, East Coast Bays is just north of the Harbour Bridge in Browns Bay, and Warkworth is up the end of the motorway, the top of the northern motorway. And Warkworth is my home club, but East Coast Bays is my secondary club.
Oh, so you have a third club as well then?
Correct.
He spreads himself very thin for Mr. Gin.
Are we talking about Waitomo?
Yes, Waitomo. We are. Hard case, okay. Ross.
Good to see you back, Ross. What's been happening in the world of intermediates and juniors and novices?
Last week I was listening to the show and I heard you mention the Warkworth Restricted Tournament. I just want to hark back to that because that was actually won by Gabrielle and Mark Bursich from North Shore, and they are two intermediate players. So that's pretty good result for a couple of intermediates to take out a restricted tournament. And third was another intermediate couple, quite an interesting combination. Paul and Jeanette Grimmer from the Warkworth Club. And I know for sure that Paul is nearly 85 and his sister, we could never know what her age is, but it must be reasonably close. And that's a creditable performance for two intermediates of that age to come third. And looking back on last year's results, they actually came second last year. They only played two tournaments a year. Not a bad
Very effort. Consistent.
Yeah. Warkworth is the club that's famous for its raffles. Have you heard about those?
I haven't.
I haven't ventured that far.
We have five raffles of a pair of fresh, not live, recently caught fish from Lee Fisheries. These raffles are quite famous north of Auckland for that tournament.
Dargaville was famous for their coomeras and Warkworth for their fish by the sounds. Franklin has eggs and carrots and potatoes and things, don't they?
And onions.
Peanuts,
onions.
Because they have Ronnie, who is the nut man.
NZ Bridge should put this on their website, we think, the winners of the fish raffle.
The Tauranga Congress and a number of junior intermediate players played over there, did moderately well for their ranking relative to very, very experienced, and it was pretty hard going. I found the restricted on Saturday, the new format, the 3A restricted, very high standard of play. The open teams, of course, was like murder, but that went okay. And then you played your team's finals on Sunday and we played Constellation Swiss Pairs, which was very enjoyable. That's a lovely format, that Swiss Pairs. I think it's quite popular.
Congratulations to you.
I just want to mention that there's a couple of novice players from Hamilton that went over. Bruce Bettany and Ken Cooper went over and played in the Constellation Swiss Pairs. Pretty brave of them. And anyway, they won two matches and finished 38th out of 46. So playing against lots of open players. Good effort. They didn't match the dizzy heights of 11th where we saw Ross and Deirdre. Still,
he's still recovering from that.
That's what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, that the step up is quite a hard one to take. And for two novices to go over into that environment, it's quite brave. And that's what we're trying to promote, or with our section of radios, just generally within the bridge world. So there's so many results from Canberra in Australia. Of two that are of note to me in our sort of neck of the woods was Jesse Pellinato and Alex Meyer. Jesse only just qualified for a provincial master quite late last year, and Alex Meyer is still an intermediate player, and they did exceptionally well across there. Tamati Greg, one of our recent graduates, if you like, did also really well over there, and that's good to see, and that must be an example, if you like, or something to aspire to for the rest of us that are working in the intermediate and junior areas, yep. Especially the young ones.
Definitely youth players. They're keen enough to go in and brave it all.
That's the noticeable thing. Probably the thing that all those people have got in common is they've all been playing in open tournaments long before they ever became open. I'm sure that's helped them to improve if you're brave enough to do it.
Do you want an extreme example?
Sure.
Go for it.
Stephanie Chen, who played with her father in the team with me and my partner, Deirdre Oliver, Stephanie has more A points than she has B points. She has 5 A points and 4 B points, and she's 14 years old. So there's another example coming up from the bottom upwards, and that's what we really love to have.
I reckon she's probably going places, Ross.
I certainly hope so. She's got an excellent coach and mentor in her father, for sure.
Yeah, he brought her down to Hamilton for a tournament last year. We met Stephanie then. She was playing with Freddie, of course. Hey, I've got some intermediate junior tournaments that are happening for the month of Feb. So this little segment is specifically for intermediate, junior and novice. In Papakura, they have an intermediate Saturday the 14th of Feb. Taradale is hosting theirs in the Hawke's Bay on the 15th of the 2nd. Cromwell has got an intermediate junior tournament on the 21st of Feb, and Taupō hosts theirs on the 28th. So there's plenty of intermediate junior tournaments coming around, and we'll do a monthly shout out for them. It's all for February.
There are the trials for the interprovincials. Auckland hold theirs this weekend, I think. Waikato at the end of February. So they should be on the radar of the gym members, without a doubt. And then there's that other old chestnut of mine where I'd like open players to invite intermediate and junior players to play in restricted tournaments. You know, I've said that before, Mariana. Grant Jarvis is really good at that. He plays quite a few restricted tournaments with intermediate players. What about you, Barry?
I've played a few of those back in the day. I don't play as much as I used to, Ross. I've played the Hamilton one occasionally. They have a restricted tournament.
Here's a challenge for you. This is for your goals for this year. Why don't you play a restricted tournament this year with me? Okay. And we'll play it live on the radio.
That'll be good. We'll be blow-by-blow description on the radio the week after. That'd entertain the listeners.
Well, there's actually one that I think you'd be interested in, Barry. April the 9th. Thursday Restricted Pairs online.
Are you guys ganging up on me or what? Is this prearranged?
Can't you see the little halo above our heads? What are you thinking about?
Some of us are still working on a Thursday. It might be better to go for a weekend one. When's the Hamilton one?
That is in March. You want to bring it forward and you want to bring it face to face.
I don't know. Do you think Ross would travel all the way down from Warkworth to Hamilton to play in the restricted? He's pretty good at that. He's a member of Waitomo, after all.
You know, I go lots of places. I'd have to look to see if I've already booked that one, Mary, though.
Okay. So I didn't realise it was so close, actually.
We need a bit of time to prepare, Mariana.
We think we probably do. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, well, let's put it on a coat hanger for future discussion. We'll carry this discussion on, Barry. The pressure is on you, though. The ball's in your court. You know, what do they say? Walk the walk, talk the talk.
We'll have a look at that. We'll report back to the listeners and tell them what the answer was. What's going to happen? Might put the pressure on, though. Everybody be watching, Ross.
You really like online, though, Barry. I can't see that you're not prepared to give up a day to play in an online event.
We'll talk about it later, whether it's online or whether it's face-to-face. We'll do it. There you go.
Okay. I'll tell you what. Since you're going to play with Ross, perhaps I can check out to see if Deidre's keen for a game and then we can make a whole table. Okay. How do you think that'll work, Ross?
I'd say she'd be delighted to play with you, Mariana. If Girls you're putting your hat in the ring, then Barry can't possibly pull out, can he?
There we go. Pinky swear. Oh, I don't think that's the pinky.
Wrong pinky, Barry.
That sounds like fun.
That's about all I've got.
Okay, bye.
See you. Your cheating ways and the jagged diamonds, he told the queen of spades. To end the show, Barry's going to give his pearls of wisdom next week. I guess this is more about what you do subconsciously, and if you're part of the gin club, maybe you want to consciously think about these things. 10 mental checks before you make a bid. Now, do you agree with these? Is your hand balanced or unbalanced? Who is vulnerable? What did your partner bid last? Do you have a stopper in their suit? Count your losers, not just your points. Are you in first, second, third, or fourth seat? Does your bid describe shape or strength? Is there a better defensive bid? Risk versus reward. Is it worth it? And breathe. Don't rush. What do you think of those?
They're pretty good, actually. I'm just thinking you'd be there a long time if you went through those every time you took a bid. Anybody that knows me will know that I'm not a deep thinker, am I, Mariana? I'd certainly consider those things.
As mentioned, stay tuned. Barry's going to finish off his list next week. Plenty of content to talk about, Barry.
Absolutely, and we've got Auckland Regional Trials coming up this weekend, as we spoke about with Ross. Whether they'll have them all, I don't know. Plenty of entries in the intermediates. The others, not so much.
Oh, dear. That seems to be the way. So the keen ones, the intermediate players, and you can be a junior.
Of course you can. Or a novice even.
Yep, it's interesting. Good luck to those that are in the trials for this week. Waikato Bays will probably go down the line of selecting, I guess, Barry, if there's not that many entries.
I think that's their decision, is that if there's not enough entries, they'll just put a limit. I don't know what the limit is, but there has to be so many.
It was 10, I think it was.
Yeah. I tell you what, Auckland's not getting anywhere near 10 with theirs, apart from the intermediates, who've got 13.
Okay. Well, if you're planning this weekend, people, all the best to you, and I'll see you at the tables.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international, nationwide.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.